I hail this salvation, therefore, as a salvation exactly adapted to my necessities as a fallen being, and while I utterly despair of ever saving myself from sin, I hail the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior, manifested to take away my sins, to write His law in my heart, to redeem me from all iniquity, to make me holy and without blame before Him in love, to sanctify and cleanse me with the washing of water by the Word, that He may present me to Himself, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but holy and without blemish. I have found, therefore, the Savior and the salvation I need plainly revealed to me in God's Word, and on that Savior I cast my soul, my being, for time and eternity, in myself a hopeless, helpless sinner, but trusting in a Savior in whom dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead, and who has made me complete in Him. Colossians 2, 9 and 10. So that I may expect through His salvation to stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Colossians 4, 12. This is my hope of everlasting life, that Christ Jesus, my Redeemer, will save me from my sins. And in comparison with this hope, the whole material universe is to me of less value than the small dust of the balance. Isaiah 40, 15. Take away this hope from me, and you blot out the light of my soul, and leave me in the blackness of darkness forever. I believe, then, that full provision is made in the gospel to save God's people from their sins. Number 2. I am now to inquire whether Christians can avail themselves of this provision of the grace of God so as to be saved from sin in this life. In the first chapter of Luke, I find that Zacharias, being filled with the Holy Ghost, prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for He hath visited and redeemed His people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of His servant David. And He spake by the mouth of His holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies, and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised unto our fathers, to remember His holy covenant, the oath which He sware unto our father Abraham, that He would grant to us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve Him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before Him, all the days of our life. Luke 1:68-75. Now I believe that he who serves God without fear, in holiness and righteousness before Him, all the days of his life is saved from sin, all the days of his life. I believe that God swore unto Abraham our father, that he would grant unto us, that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness, before him all the days of our life, and that he hath raised up a horn of salvation for us, to perform his mercy, promised to our fathers, to remember this holy covenant, this oath which he swore. I believe all this on the testimony of a man filled with the Holy Ghost. Since, therefore, I believe that God's oath can be relied on, especially since Christ came on purpose to fulfill that oath, and since that oath does pledge the grant of walking before God in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life, I am bound to believe it. I dare not sin against God by believing that God is not ready to be faithful to His oath, an oath to which Christ came on purpose to fulfill. I read that he that believeth not God hath made him to be a liar. 1 John 5:10. I must not make God a liar by saying he is not true to his oath. Again, when the disciples of Christ said, Lord, teach us to pray, Luke 11:1, he directed them to pray, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, Matthew 6:10. If God's will is done in heaven by sinless obedience, we are taught to pray for the same thing on earth. And I cannot believe that Christ has taught us to pray for a thing which he is unwilling to grant. Again, we are taught to pray that the very peace of God will sanctify us wholly, and preserve our whole spirit and soul and body, blameless unto the coming of Christ. And we are assured that he who hath called us is faithful, and will do it. 1 Thessalonians 5:23-24. Again, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. As faithful, I suppose, in the one case as in the other. I know of no reason for waiting for forgiveness or cleansing till death. In the further proof of the position, that Christians may avail themselves of God's grace so as to be saved from sin in this life, I will here speak directly in reply to your question. Who besides Christ mentioned in Bible history were free from sin? I have quoted the words of one who exclaimed in view of his bondage to the law of sin and death, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me?" In reply to his own interrogation, he answered, "I thank God through Jesus Christ my Lord." Romans 7:24-25. He says, moreover, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Paul therefore found out a way whereby to be free from the law of sin and death, and to have the righteousness of the law fulfilled in him. This could be nothing less than loving God with all the heart, and his neighbor as himself. For he who does less than this is a transgressor. The law could not do this, in consequence of the weakness of the flesh, but God did it through Christ, fulfilled in him the righteousness of the law, and thus made him free from that law of sin, under which he had before groaned in condemnation. He was now free from condemnation. But how those can be free from condemnation who are continually sinning against God, it is impossible for me to understand. He hath found that to those in Jesus Christ there was no condemnation. And John tells us that those who abide in Christ sin not. Paul also says in another place that he that is dead is freed from sin. Romans 6:7. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him. If we die unto sin after the likeness of Christ's death, we shall walk in newness of life after the likeness of his resurrection. Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. Romans 6:9. Neither if we be dead to sin, will sin any more have dominion over us. Hence the injunction of the apostle, "Likewise ye also," or "as well as I, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Christ." Romans 6:11. Reckon yourselves to be dead unto sin by trusting in Christ to keep you thus alive. It may perhaps be said that a person may reckon himself dead to sin who has once repented, though he now continues to sin every day. But if I should find a man every day intoxicated, I should not regard him as dead to that sin, whatever he might say respecting past repentance. And the same is true of every other sin, in thought, word, or deed. No man is dead to sin who commits sin. And as Christ who died once dies no more, so he who is dead to sin sins no more. If he falls into sin, he is no longer dead to sin. Such were the sentiments of Paul, and as I cannot accuse him of the gross inconsistency of preaching what he did not practice, I must believe that he was dead to sin and alive unto God, and that being free from condemnation in Christ Jesus, he did so abide in him that he sinned not. Again, we hear this apostle saying in another place, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Galatians 2:20-21. I cannot conceive that a man could use such language as this who was living day by day in sin. If a man is crucified with Christ, he must be dead to sin. And such a one, the apostle has already told us, is freed from sin. Romans 6:8. No man can say, I am fully persuaded. I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, who knows himself to be living in sin. Nor can one who lives in sin say, the life I now live here in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20. Paul says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. Galatians 2:21. I do not expect to work out a righteousness by my own unaided efforts to obey the law. I rely on the faithfulness of Christ, who loves me, to keep me.